Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, the Blog Talk Radio Show, on every evening, 7 days a week, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 9, sometimes at 10 or 11, but it's on the button every week. And I want to tell you a little about the point parameters of this show. First of all, tonight the show is going to be handling the topic, and I'm afraid this is a terrible fear of mine and concern of mine. I'm handling the topic of a world without books. If that happens, we'll all be in terrible, terrible trouble. Or better put, we will sink into the kingdom of darkness and may never emerge again. But that's the topic I'm going to handle tonight, and I want to tell you the three-point parameters of this show. Number one, I'm a very great fan of literature and books. Russian literature, Dostoevsky, Gogol, Tolstoy particularly. I'm a great fan of English literature, Shakespeare, Ben Jonson, Samuel Johnson, all of them. Wordsworth, Coleridge, Shelley, Keats, Dickens, Thackeray, name them and I know them. And I'm also a great fan of French literature, Camus, who is one of my idols, and German literature such as Heinrich Heine and others. Second, this show it's also a theological show. I have a very distinct Christian beliefs. They're Orthodox Christian. They're the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed and Athanasian Creed. These are the beliefs I adhere to in my life, which I want to hand down to the next generation to know and understand. So that's the second thing about this show. And I say I want to make it clear that I welcome all faiths, all beliefs. To me, all people bear the face and love of Jesus. And I have great love for Israel, Islamic brothers and sisters, for our Hindu brothers and sisters, and our Buddhist brothers and sisters. To me, whatever the faith, they bear the love and face of the divine Savior, who cast his life down for all humanity, once and for all. Once and for all is right. I take a political position. I'm conservative, but I want to make it clear that I follow Christ in his demands here, his concerns for the poor and poverty-stricken. I agree with it. You can't be a Christian unless you have a concern and great concern for the poor and underclass. And so I follow Jesus in that respect. And if it's not conservative, it's not Republican, well, that's too bad. Jesus comes before everything in this world. In terms from my thinking. Next, I'd like to talk about, I've indicated the parameters, the broad parameters of the show. I want to give you my positions on various things. This is a politically incorrect show. Namely, we don't go in for media hype, media falsehoods, media lies, or political rhetoric. We go in for truth and facts, and that's all. So we gained by critical thinking. We're interested in truth, we're interested in facts, we're getting an honest intellectual activity, an honest discernment, and that's it. Honest thinking, arriving in truth and insights. Next, as I say, I'm a Christian. This is a Christian show. And I definitely follow the dictates of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and also I follow the Bible as the Word of God, and I follow the creeds of the Church as setting forth the elements of my faith, Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed. And I also, if I have the chance, I read great Christian books such as Don Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Eliot, St. Augustine, and of course the Epistles of Paul, which are the heart of Christian thinking, and which are irreplaceable and unbelievably great. I suggest you read them. They're well worth reading. Next, I'd like you to join me in other things that I'd like to talk about. I have two Christian radio shows, a Blog Talk radio show and podcast radio show. I have many visitors from all over the world on the podcast show, 4,400 visitors. And also I have many, many visitors to my Blog Talk Radio show, particularly from Muslim countries such as Malaysia, such as Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, etc. They all are very, very enthused for my Christian thinking. My dear Muslim brothers and sisters, who I dearly love and I know Jesus cast down his life for. Next, I've written 10 books. Five, some are Christian books, some are legal books. The legal books are called Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. The Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. A book on the parables. The parables book, to me, is very important because it analyzes the parables of Christ. And these are the words of the Savior and Redeemer of the world. They are the mind of God as he instructs us and advises us. Read the parables. Read the book about the parables. Not so much my book, but read the parables, because they are the mind and thinking of God in Christ. Next, I would ask you to, I recently wrote a book on the Psalms, analyzing and interpreting 150 Psalms. I've read the Psalms in Hebrew in seminary, and I've read them in English, and I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I can't say it often enough. I challenge you to which you're going to go more tired of, the Psalms in an English translation or War and Peace in an English translation. What are you going to get more tired of? I tell you, the Psalms are so great, they can be understood and grasped in any language in the world, because they represent Jewish theological mysticism. They represent Jewish lyric poetry. They represent lyric poetry of the Jewish people, and they represent the best written in this respect that you can find. And John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms that they were the manna of the church. He meant they are what feed us spiritually in the church. They're very great. They're very great spiritual items. They're very great literary products. I say this again, as literary products, the Psalms are beyond belief. Read them and you will experience the greatness and never forget it, ever. Next, I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter. I've also four blog books of my blogs. Literary, philosophical, and theological, and political blogs. These will be four books, and I'm writing a book on the Book of Job eventually, an analysis of the Book of Job, which is a very great literary item. It's a very great piece of work. It is inspired. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he made it into Hebrew canon, and it represents how Job is tried and has tribulations put upon him by God. It's a wonderful book. It's a great book. I love it. And let me say this. Mortimer Adler said of the Bible, this is one part of the Bible, the Psalms and the parables and Job. Mortimer Adler, in his very great book, said how to read a book. He said that the Bible is the foundation of Western literature. In addition, he said a more important statement, that if it isn't in print, and you don't learn anything, and that if you're trying to learn by images on television or computers or whatever, you are wasting your time. They are drugs. He called them drugs. They are drugs. We are passive receptacles to the drugs of television and computers and movies. Read that book by Mortimer Adler. It's a great book, ladies and gentlemen. You can't learn enough from Mortimer Adler's book, how to read a book. Next, I'd like to talk to you about some other books I'm writing. I'm writing a law book on criminal law hearings, pretrial hearings. I've partially written two chapters. I have many more chapters to go. I'm also writing a book on the writing several other books. Come to mind the miracles and and other books that I slipped out of my mind, but I am writing other books. I've written a book, by the way, on evidence and Bender's Consolidated Evidence, on race called Res Gestae. I've written a book on New York jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia, on criminal law demands and notices. And I've written a chapter on paternity in family law and practice, published by West and edited by Merrill Sobey, a Pace Law professor. So I also, finally, let me wrap up my background. I've written 3 extensive journal articles, 2 academicus articles on sex discrimination and United States educational system. And they've been bought, I'm pleased to say, by the State Department and many, many other universities throughout the world, in Europe, North America, South America, Africa, and Asia. I've also written an article on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, also bought by the State Department and United States Supreme Court. And this book has also been bought by many universities throughout the world. Let me hit the topic I'm going to hit tonight. It distresses me that this might happen. It seems to be happening. It's tragic. I spoke to other people. They have used the term tragic. Not only are they not, people don't read books as they used to, but they don't read the books they should read. I'm talking about books like Moby Dick. I'm talking about books like A Passage to India by E.M. Forster. I'm talking about books like T.S. Eliot's poems. I'm talking about G.K. Chesterton. I'm talking about T.S. Eliot. I'm talking about books of those authors. They are the greats. They are irreplaceable intellectually and in every way. And our society, there are 2 prongs of the tragedy that is occurring in our society. Number one, people don't read books. They may not have time. It's a possibility. Maybe the government has policies to make people have no time to read important books. Maybe that's the way they want it. You know, when you don't read the important books, you don't know stuff. When you don't know, you're in darkness. You could be manipulated and made fools of. If you don't know, you're in ignorance and in darkness. If you don't read books, you're in ignorance and darkness. And if this is the case, if this is the policy of the government and the school system, then the result will be that people will be in darkness and they will be easily made fools of and manipulated by political forces. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know. It looks that way. But people don't read books, not as much as they used to, and they certainly aren't reading the books I'm talking about, at least in the public school system. They may be reading, and I don't denigrate who they're reading. Could be anything. Could be Maya Angelou, who's a fine poet. But the question is she the equal of Keats and Shelley and Tennyson and Byron? I don't think so. These are the people that the school kids should read, and Coleridge, and not reading. And they may be reading the person I just said, who may be quite worthy, but the issue is she as worthy as these very great poets and thinkers? So this is the thing we come down to. Either you're left not reading books, which is a possibility. People don't read at all. They watch television. They stare at screens. They stare at their phones. That's one possibility. And if that's the case, we will all be brought down into increasing ignorance and darkness, if that's the case. But maybe it isn't. People may be reading books, but are they reading the books I just mentioned, such as War and Peace by Tolstoy, such as Resurrection by Tolstoy, such as Anna Karenina by Tolstoy, such as Moby Dick by Melville? Are they reading those books? I don't think so. Are they reading Milton? Milton wrote his epic poem, Paradise Lost, when he was blind. Such was the force, the tremendous force of his intellect to write one of the greatest epic poems in the world. Also, the subject of that epic poem is very important because people should know about it, because Milton determined that the great historical events in history was man's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. He believed that, and I believe it, and I think it's true. It is the critical historical events in history. And if we don't know about it, then again we will be lost souls. Milton knew about it, and he perceived it as important, and he wrote about it. And that's why Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained and Sagan Agonistes, written while blind, are so very great work products. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, start your children reading by the... Remember the example of John Stuart Mill, the English philosopher. He started reading Greek by the time he was age 3 and was reading Herodotus completely by age 6 and most of the dialogues of Plato at the same time. That's an example of what a person is capable of. Mill may have been bright. He may have been a genius, but I think he's an example of what one person can be if given the chance and opportunity. Give your children the children ask opportunity. Give them a shot. Have them read these great books. Have them start early with these great books. And don't let them ignore them for the garbage they are being fed in the school system, if they are being fed anything. Again, there are two issues. Number one, are they reading books at all? They may not be. They may have a diet of images on TV and computers and movies. They may have that. If that's the case, they'll go. Our society will be going in future generations down, 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 descending down into darkness. And if they're not reading the books I mentioned, like Moby Dick, Milton's Paradise Lost, whatever, E.M. Foster or Passage to India, not reading those books, they are in a state of intellectual deprivation. Again, they are descending into darkness. Take hold of the situation, ladies and gentlemen. Take hold and be aware. Do you want a society of ignorance and darkness? A society without print, without books, is a society descending down into zero. It's obvious, without reading books, without print, we don't learn, we cannot learn from some ridiculous movie or television show. It's passive, you don't get it, you don't grasp anything, you don't learn anything, you're wasting your time. You may enjoy it for the moment, but that's all. Read the great books, read books, because without books, without reading great books, our society will descend into fantastic darkness and ignorance. Hope you understand what I'm saying, and we'll heed what I'm saying. Thank you.